folks, and welcome back to the Perspective Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Joining me this week is my co-host, Mamats. Mamats, say what's up to the people.
Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof.
Wow. Who let you out? I can't believe you went there. I cannot believe you went there, sir. Just wow. Okay.
All right.
So, not that you could tell from that weird little ditty, I guess we'll call it.
Ditty.
This week we're reviewing the film, the anime film Sword of the Stranger, aka Stranger Mukuo Hodan. Before we dive into that, though, I have an interesting question, and this question is thanks to, I'm going to give credit where credit's due, we're going back to TikTok, to the TikTokies. Indie manga creator, shout out for this question. I thought was really good, so we're going to run with that for our question of the week. And the question is, who do you think are the big three? And we already talked about big three. I don't want to hear shit about like the actual big three. This is a different type of big three.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think are the big three of anime senseis?
Anime sensei?
Yes. So who do you think are the three most influential anime senseis as far as their students are concerned? Who do you think did the best job of teaching their students? Who do you think did the best job of preparing their students? All that jazz.
Can you give me an example, please?
So, like, Kakashi Sensei.
I love the teachers.
The way he trained
up. In anime.
Like, the way he trained Sasuke. Yes. Who do you think of the anime shows, who do you think had the best senseis? So, you get three picks. It has to be a specific sensei. It can't just be like Naruto, Autumn senseis. No. I need three specific senseis. Who do you think, if we had the Mount Rushmore of senseis, who would be up there?
Okay. I need time to think. If you do have...
You need time to think.
Yes. If you do have one, please go ahead.
Off the
first.
Cuff. Off the dome, sir. I've got one. You got one already. And we can go tit for tat and then discuss. So that's fine.
Okay.
My first one is got to be... I love how I just forgot her name.
there you go.
From Yu Yu Hakusho. Genkai. Because, yes, Genkai, she was not like the, hey, I'm going to hold your hand and teach you a cool technique kind of person. She literally pushed Yusuke to his limits and beyond and instilled in him an appreciation for authority, because we all know Yusuke, when he first got out there, he was wilding. Okay, he was acting the goddamn fool.
Okay,
but with Genkai, she may have gotten on his last good nerve, but at the same time, he respected her more than anyone else in his life. So not only did she teach him techniques and how to be strong, she also taught him to appreciate people in higher positions than himself.
I mean,
so I definitely say Genkai is definitely there.
She gave her life away, literally, I guess. So yeah, I think she made.
Well, I mean, that was even before that.
Yeah, regardless, she made the cut. I have to agree with you there. Okay, so for me, one of them would be Bisky from Hunter x Hunter. She trained Killua and Gon together, man. Even though it is not like not complete like training yet, but it made who they are currently, I guess, made them strong and learn about men and stuff. I think she's a good teacher as well.
I think she's a good teacher. I don't know if I'd put her up on Rushmore, but I definitely agree she's a good teacher.
You got another one?
Who am I throwing out next? I gotta dig deep into my anime knowledge.
I got one. You have to agree with me now. Asuma Sensei.
I don't have to.
Asuma, man. From Naruto.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's why I said you have to agree with me.
I don't know if I can agree with you.
Why not?
I don't know if I can agree with you.
Oh, my God.
Okay, because Asuma was a good man.
Yes.
I don't think that necessarily puts him on the pinnacle of senseis. He gave his life, yes.
Yeah. But
I don't know if he really taught his students to overcome all of their issues.
He is personally very close with Kamaru. So yeah, they both like have like a personal bonding together, and he secretly like trains Kamaru to become who he is now.
No, I completely agree with that. I agree with that.
Yes.
But I don't know if that alone is enough to put him at the top of senseis. Because you took Shikamaru and all you did was redirect. You redirected him. Because Shikamaru is definitely one of those like, man, I don't want to do this. And he's like, listen, if you do this, this is what happens. So he was able to reach Shikamaru and use his intelligence in a way that was beneficial.
Yes.
But yeah. I don't know if that really teach, like, I
that is also like
transformational.
I mean, that is also like the trait of a good teacher, like, take something that use it like to benefit themselves.
Well, who's to say his dad couldn't have done the same thing?
His dad couldn't care less about him.
That's cold as fuck.
Let's be real. Let's be real, man.
That's hella cold, man. Respect daddies, man. Respect daddies.
That is why when their dads die, it doesn't feel a thing. Because, yeah. Their sacrifice is just, okay.
That is hella cold.
But when Asuma died, man. Oof. Oh my God.
Yeah, okay. There were some feels when Asuma died. I'm not going to argue with you. I just don't know if that makes him Mount Rushmore of senseis, though.
Okay. All right. Okay. Give me your other picks then.
See, now that I'm talking down Asuma, I don't know if I can give the next one that was on my mind. The next one I was going to say was Urahara.
Urahara.
From Bleach.
Nah.
No, here's my thing.
Yeah.
Hold on, hear me out.
Right.
Urahara managed to teach Ichigo everything he needed to know on how to be a Soul Reaper, to control his hollow powers, to unleash a Bankai. He did all of that, most of which was done from miles away. He's like, hey, go do this thing, and that'll do what you needed to do. And that's all he had to fucking do.
I mean,
he had that motherfucker for like a week.
Bad teachings, man.
That's not just bad teaching,
give him like a skin and good luck.
He took Ichigo, he took Ichigo, who could barely unleash a Shikai, okay? And taught him how to unleash a Bankai in 7 days, I believe. He taught Ichigo to master his hollow powers in like 3 or 4 days. Or not, to master his Shikigami powers in like 3 or 4 days. He's been able to teach to Ichigo what takes most Soul Reapers hundreds of years to learn. With the simplest of ease. Now, mind you, his teaching methods might be a little unorthodox, but the sheer amount of progress that Ichigo was able to make in the first 2 seasons of fucking Bleach is strictly due to Urahara. Like, Ichigo's lineage plays a role, but if it wasn't for Urahara, that fool would have became a hollow a long ass time ago.
Nah, the way I see it, it's because of Urahara that he was able
to tame his powers.
It's all Ichigo willpower. Like Urahara is just
give you a hint
and good luck. Hope you don't die.
Absolutely not. That is bullshit. If it was Ichigo's willpower, he would have succumbed to being a hollow a long time ago.
I mean, yeah, he's becoming hollow like a couple of times already, so, but still.
No. I mean a permanent hollow. Like, not even a visored, okay? I mean a permanent fucking hollow. He would have gotten put down a long time. I mean, not even a visored,
but like a berserker of some sort, too. Yeah, one time.
Right. He would have become a Soul Reaper problem, okay? Put some respect on Urahara's name.
Like a very lazy teacher, in my opinion. Good luck.
Hey, I didn't... Just because he was lazy don't mean he didn't get the job done.
Oh, my God. Compared to him, Urahara, I would rather pick Jiraiya, you know?
Jiraiya is a far better teacher. Jiraiya didn't even teach Naruto nothing.
Yeah, no, he is not. He is the same thing. The same as Urahara.
He didn't teach him nothing. No, it's
He teaches him how to summon.
No. Hold on. Do not disrespect Rasengan. You're not going to disrespect Urahara like that. Listen up here. Listen here, man. Listen here. Okay? Jiraiya half-ass taught Naruto an incomplete technique. Okay? And by the time he was done teaching it to him, it wasn't complete. Jiraiya said so himself. He said Minato never perfected it. Those were Jiraiya's words. Okay? He taught Naruto an incomplete technique. And by the time he was done with Naruto, that bitch was still incomplete. That was all Jiraiya ever taught Naruto. He didn't teach him Sage Mode. He didn't teach him any of his major techniques. The Rasengan was the only thing he taught him, and his father made that shit. Okay? And by the time he was done, he still couldn't master it with a single hand. He still has to summon fucking shadow clones or use nine-tailed chakra tails in order to use the goddamn Rasengan. Jiraiya does not belong on that list. He is not better than Urahara.
Yeah, they are the same bottom tier teachers, in my opinion.
No, they are not. They are not. How dare you, sir? How dare you, sir? Urahara taught fucking Ichigo practical skills, techniques, and abilities that he would not have been able to get that far that fast if it wasn't for him. Okay? Jiraiya taught Naruto how much his daddy loved him. That was it.
The power of love, man.
Don't get me wrong. I love Jiraiya. I cried when he died, but you're not going to disrespect Urahara like that.
Very lazy teachings, half ass.
Whatever. Get the fuck out of here. Who's your next one? Fucking all that shit.
I don't have another one. I'm clueless.
How you don't have another one? You're too busy arguing with me.
I want to pick All Might, but I hate the show. I don't like the whole thing.
Hate All Might, huh?
I don't hate All Might, but I hate Boku no Hero Academia, personally.
Oh, how dare you, sir?
Any other teachers, huh? I don't know.
I mean, I have mine, but it's hard for me to say it, but it's true. It's true. Like, for me, it's true. And he may not belong on the list in the long run, but I'm going to give him his flowers right now. Master Roshi.
Oh, my God.
I said what I
said.
Oh,
my God.
Master Roshi took fucking people who could not fight. Goku could fight. He could fight. Gohan taught him originally. That's right. Gohan taught him originally. So he took someone who could fight, taught him to use ki. He took Krillin, taught him to use ki. He trained up Yamcha. He trained up Tien. He trained up almost all of the Z fighters. Okay. If it wasn't for Roshi, the Earth would have been destroyed a long time ago.
Yeah, and then come somebody from the future and change the future and yeah, the whole thing. Okay.
No, the future never would have happened. The only way time travel happened is if everything played out the way it did. Okay, like if Roshi didn't do what he did, the future never would have happened. The androids never would have got created. Fucking everybody dies. Okay.
Okay.
Raditz shows up, blows up the whole fucking planet. Even worse, Goku sees a full moon, turns into fucking Great Ape, and wipes out the whole planet.
Oh my god. All right. So this is like a very short notice. The question should have be like we should have get the question like far earlier, not just really suddenly and have to think about
it. It's best done off the dome. No research. Just take it as it is. You over here just mad because you couldn't come up with any other answers.
Yeah. I mean this is I'm just woken up. My brain is just still like very jittery and yeah, so cannot think straight. But if you guys have any say on this question, or you want to debate that our choice is worse, something you want to roast us, you can always hit us up on the interweb. We can people find us on the interweb, Shannon.
As always, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast. Or if you want to shoot us an email, shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So with that being said, let's continue on with the main topic.
Let's go. All right. So like I said earlier, the main topic for this week is Sword of the Stranger. This one is a little different for us. We're doing a movie. This one aired in 2007, and the synopsis is from MightyMillis.net and goes like this. In the Sengoku period of Japan, a young orphan named Kotaru and his dog Tobimaru steal from unsuspecting villagers in order to make ends meet. However, Kotaru is forced to remain on the run when he finds himself being hunted down by assassins sent by China's Ming Dynasty for mysterious reasons not involving his petty crimes. Fortunately, the duo run into Nanashi, a ronin who has taken refuge in a small temple. When Kotaru is attacked and Tobimaru poisoned, although the samurai saves the helpless pair from the pursuers, he feels that there is no need to help them further. But when offered a gem in exchange for his services as a bodyguard, he reluctantly accepts Kotaru's offer of employment, just until Tobimaru is healed and the two reach their destination. As the three set out on a perilous journey, it soon becomes evident that their path is riddled with danger, as the Ming Dynasty has now sent a terrifying swordsman after them to capture Kotaru and fulfill a certain prophecy. That's the synopsis for Sword of the Stranger from MindMillis.net. Let's hit scores and slogans.
All right. I will give it like 6.5. And my slogan for it is, be nice to animals.
Okay. I'm going to give the show a 6.
Okay.
And my slogan is, sometimes the only path to redemption is through the innocence of a child.
Ah, all right. That is a very nice one. We will use that one, I guess.
Deep.
All right, Stig. I thought you will give it like far higher than me, like 7 or something.
Stig, something. Okay. I would have if they didn't commit a cardinal sin for me.
Cardinal sins.
It's a cardinal sin for me. You do not have dialogue that we can't understand.
But there are translation, right?
No, there isn't.
You're watching it in English dub?
I was watching in the English dub because there was no other version. Even on Crunchyroll, there's no other version. But the thing about it is, the word, so when they're speaking Japanese, it's dubbed. When they're speaking Chinese, there's nothing. There's no subtitles. It's not translated. Nothing. This is done on purpose.
Done on purpose. Okay. Let's hear your propaganda. Yeah.
No. Supposedly, this was done on purpose. This is from something else that I was reading after I finished the show.
Okay.
It's supposed there's a part of storytelling where it's what is it called? Now that I'm talking about it, I forgot what it's called. Essentially, it's when they tell the story without telling you things. So they don't say stuff. They don't explain. So they say, oh, this thing fires a projectile at 100 feet a minute. Instead of telling me that, fire the projectile and just have it hit a mountain and watch it blow up, right? So you show me what's happening, and through non-existent dialogue, I come to understand what you're trying to show me. This show tries to do that with the dialogue in Chinese, but there's so much of it that I'm like, this seems like it's important. Or like when what's the big baddie's name? Lao Leng. No, Lao Leng. When Lao Leng dies, he says something that probably is fucking profound, but we don't get to know what it is. It's like Killmonger at the end of Black Panther. And he says, what did he say? He says, we can heal you. He says, no, just throw me in the ocean with my ancestors who knew that death was better than bondage. Oh. Profound final words.
When the last duel. What
the words were.
The last duel, right?
At the last duel. Yes.
Oh. It says nothing. Or it says it in Chinese or something?
He speaks in Chinese, but there's no subtitles. There's nothing for us to know what he said. And the thing about it that really annoys me is that there were other times when they stop and we know like they're speaking Chinese, but they'll do it in English. So like right before the final battle begins between Lao Leng and Inashi, he's literally like, hey, take this medicine, it'll make the pain go away.
Yes, that is what he said.
Right. So we know that you recognize that he's speaking Chinese, but you know we need to understand it, so you translated it into English.
No.
But when it comes to all when he the said other it, dialogue.
When he said that line, he said it in Japanese. Yes. I watched it like original. He said it in Japanese, but a very broken Japanese.
See, I don't know, because there's other times they've done it where they've gone and there's when they are speaking and we're supposed to understand them, it's dubbed for us.
Because
other times where they just speak in Chinese.
They speak in Japanese.
Even if no one else is around. Even when no one else is around. So like there's a scene in the close to the beginning when they're traveling, and it's the group of the Chinese people from the Ming Dynasty. When they're traveling, they're talking, they're only speaking Chinese. Yeah. And I had to stop the show to be like, wait, did I not turn on subtitles or did I not choose the right language? But wait, I was just watching this in English. So I literally had to stop, click around to see if I missed something. Then there's enough, they literally have that one and there's one below it, like it's a second episode, but it's not, it's the same fucking movie. So I had to go to that one, see if I missed something there. No, it's specifically done this way on purpose.
Maybe on English.
It was a choice. Maybe, because you said you watch it in Japanese, right?
Yes. So I don't have any problem. So they translated both of them.
Okay, so in the scenes where they are speaking specifically Chinese, with just the people from China, it actually has the translations on it.
Yes.
See, I don't. So maybe for some reason the Crunchyroll version is fucked up.
Yeah, probably.
Because that's some bullshit. Because that's what made me have to give it such a low score, is because we're missing you so much understand. Dialogue.
Yes, like you said,
no, the final duel. No, I have no idea what happened in some of that shit.
When that guy died, yeah, it is a very like. Meaningful, like very impactful dialogue that he said before he died. The last word, yeah.
See, that's the bullshit. that makes me mad.
I don't know who to blame, you know. Crunchyroll is a big company. They could have like find this translator to translate them. Or maybe they just don't care. This is so underrated. They just don't care about it. Maybe who knows?
Right. Like, why would they? But that doesn't make any sense. Why would they only translate the parts in Japanese but not the parts in Chinese? It's not more work for you. You have the fucking script.
You need to find a Chinese translator for that.
No, this is a Japanese anime. It's written in Japanese and then translated into Chinese. You have the script. You know what they're saying without having to translate it back from Chinese.
I don't know, because when they are speaking Chinese, it is very genuine. Maybe they find like some voice
actor. I'm not saying they didn't use Japanese or Chinese voice actors.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that the script for this, hold on, let's do this. Where is it? I can bring here we go. So this is made by producers are Bandai, Shochiku, Sony, and Hakudo DY Media Partners, Studio Bones. Because unless this was made by a Chinese company, Japanese animation studio, unless this was made by a Chinese company, what would have happened was that this was made by a Japanese company. They went and hired a Chinese voice actor or someone who is fluent in Chinese.
Yes.
To do the voice acting for this, but the script originally would have been in Japanese.
They should have been, yes.
So it's not like you would have to take it, translate the Japanese part, then translate the Chinese part so that you could record it. You would have just taken the Japanese script that was the original and translate the whole thing. You wouldn't have to, there wouldn't be additional steps involved, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but when they sell the right to the Western, maybe all of that is gone. And just as that,
that would make zero sense.
Just speculation, man. I don't know what is the real deal there, and why they don't provide the original Japanese dub over there too, right? Because it exists.
I don't know. That's the thing. Now it does say the original licensor was Funimation.
Okay.
So this could have just been a fuck up of the merger of Funimation and Crunchyroll.
Probably.
In which case, stop fucking shit up. Y'all making stuff worse. Nobody needed that.
I'll check
something real quick. Yeah, original movie, Japanese. Is it a Japanese or an English? Nope, it's Crunchyroll's fuck up.
Not from Funimation, huh?
No. Here's why. Well, it could be either one, but here it's not the original studio. Here's why. When I go to the dubbed version, it's not the dubbed version. It's the subbed version with no subtitles. Uh-huh. But when I go to the other version, it's subbed, but no subtitles. So the problem on this lies with fucking Crunchyroll and the fact that they just didn't put in the goddamn subtitles on this at all.
There you go.
So, good job dropping the ball, Crunchyroll. Fantastic.
I mean, it is like a very old show, 2007, and very underrated.
I don't care.
I mean, they just don't care about
it. I pay for anime with dubs and or subs. If you're not going to provide them, you are fucking up. I give you money, you give me anime I can understand. If you don't give me anime I understand, you have not fulfilled your end of this fucking agreement.
Okay, file a complaint, man. Let's do it live.
Yeah, right. And watch him fucking suspend my fucking crypto.
All right, anyways.
I'm really going to have a problem.
Other than that, not understanding half of it, what do you think of the whole story, the plot?
I think you
got the gist of it.
Show.
Right?
I got the gist of it. I was able to understand the show as a whole. I just missed the nuance from the Chinese perspective. But I was able to understand it overall. I did enjoy the show. The action sequences, fantastic. Right amount of blood, right amount of like slashing and all that stuff. I do think that they kind of overplayed the skill of the Chinese assassins, just a bit. Other than that, I don't really have many complaints about the show. A lot of the characters were like pointless or one dimensional.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot.
They were
of
side characters, so I mean, what do you expect?
The only like important character, like what, three or four people in there? The random
hell, Nanashi, Lao Lang, Kotaro, who's supposed to be a main character, is basically just a side character. That motherfucker ain't nothing but a plot device.
Obimaru,
Itadori, the dog. Shogun, the dog. The dog's a plot device. He's not even important.
Plot device, wow.
He's a plot device. I mean, the kid and the dog are plot devices, man. They're there to further the story.
Yes, yes, agreed.
That's it.
And yeah, 4 to 5 people probably, yeah. Yeah, it is a very simple story. I don't know if this took place in a real life or something like that, or just created. I'm very weak with my history lesson about the world itself.
So don't ask me, know. I'm an American.
Yeah. at first, it is hard to watch it. There's nothing that caught your attention or make it interesting to watch at first. After like 15, 20 minutes in, the whole thing just jump started, I guess, and it starts to get exciting again. First impression, look at the color palette and everything, it is very dull, but maybe that is a choice to fit the whole, I don't know which era is this, but the samurai era, very old one, it fits the whole thing. The color palette is very dull, not colorful, I guess. Maybe I'm being spoiled or too spoiled with Demon Slayer movie now, because it sets a really high bar for like anime movies nowadays, you know. So watching
we've talked about this. Demon Slayer is all flash, no substance. This show was all substance. It's not all, but it was definitely substance first.
Yeah, substance.
And I appreciate that. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with you not being like the greatest looking, as long as your story is fucking good. And this show's story was good.
Yeah, midway through it starts to get good. But at first, if I pay to watch this one, maybe I will fall asleep the first 5 minutes in. That is just me, you know. But overall, it's an okay show. Very simple premise. Rogue samurai met with this kid in need, going on an adventure together, or maybe this kid asked for like bodyguard or something. And then they were scammed pretty much, and this guy come back to rescue him. That's it. Have a final duel with the Chinese. Yeah. They continue with their life. Happy ending. Nice.
Well, no, we're gonna talk about that part, because that was something else that pissed me off. Was like, you have not said whether or not this motherfucker survives, because that Jade thing did help.
Yes.
But he was still bleeding on the horse riding through the snow. Mm-hmm. That's what that final shot was, but we don't know if he died on that horse or not. I'm not okay with that.
We know he survived. He knows that. And no, he don't. Said that, that thing helped me. Maybe from...
he said it helped him. It did not say that he was going to survive. Because the way he was like falling asleep on the horse could have easily been him dying at that moment where he was where he was struggling to keep consciousness.
Maybe from a blood loss, maybe from exhaustion. And you need to remember that he's running all the way there. To save the kid.
No, I understand it. I very much remember that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't tell us if he actually survived or not.
Yeah. Just think of it like a happy ending, man. It's a happy ending.
I don't know if it's a happy ending because he's bleeding on the horse.
The thing that I like really annoys me when I watch like the original version is the voice acting from the kid. I hate like kids doing voice acting in Japanese. It really triggers me off.
This one wasn't bad.
I mean, English dub, I don't know who's behind the character, but in Japanese, they didn't really deliver the line how it's supposed to be. Like, the emotion wasn't there most of the time. I hate that. That is just like breaking my immersion towards the whole story. It is like asking the kid that, okay, you say it like this with no other context at all, you know? It just pisses me off. I hate watching this kind of show. It reminded me back when we watched what is the anime with the human that lost all of his limb and travel with the kid
to Dororo?
Yes, Dororo. It reminded me back to that moment again. That kid didn't really perfect. I hate like keep doing like voice acting. Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't have a problem. It didn't bother me, man. It didn't bother me.
I don't know if in the Western they have like a specific kid to do a specific line for a kid character.
Well, I believe it was a kid. It was either a kid or probably a woman. That's what happens. Apparently Aiden Drummond, so I'm guessing it is a kid.
Usually they pick a woman to do this kind of character, but this time they pick like a kid. I think.
I don't mind kids voice acting. It doesn't bother me. He wasn't a kid. He was 20. He's 28.
Well, that's why you don't have a problem. He's an adult. He's doing that.
He's 28.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, sorry. He's 28 now. He's 28 now. Hold on. He's 28 now. This was
when it was being Englished up, when it was licensed to the Westerner.
I'm assuming at the same time as the other one.
I highly doubt it.
In 2007, we were getting stuff pretty much close at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I can go. Let me go to his IMDb. It'll tell me. Oh shit, he was in Young Avengers or Next Avengers. Okay, we're at 2007, so it had to be that or after. So get 2007 was when he recorded that. So 2007, my brain is too tired to do actual math, so calculator, here we come. So 17 years.
So 11 years old?
So that means he was 11. He was a child.
And you don't mind
that. Definitely a child. Okay. And it didn't bother me. I think he did a good job.
Maybe.
He had that kind of annoying kid who's like, who thinks he's an adult kind of thing. So it didn't bother me much.
Maybe he got Thailand. But I just hate the Japanese one.
That's fair.
And I also noticed that they spent a tad bit more budget on the last duel because it is a little bit fancier compared to the other ones.
Yeah, the final battle was definitely pretty, like, no, we're going to put some money into this.
Yeah. It is really showing there, man, compared to the other battles. The other battles is just very simple or very quick. Maybe they shot it in the dark or something. But the last one is
shot very, it in the very dark, cool. Really?
Yeah. Sometimes some of the scenes is very dark. It is hard to see the details out of it, you know? Sometimes.
I don't know. I didn't have that problem on my end.
Because most of the time I watch my anime in a very dark room so that I can see all the details if the shot or the scene is very dark or something like that. But for some reason, this one has.
Yeah, I was watching on my phone and I didn't have that problem.
We have a fancy new phone.
You got fancy new phone.
Yeah, fancy new phone with all that technology, HDR and everything. I have an old tab. Watching it on an old tab, man. So
you're not wrong. My phone is new and fancy, so you know I'm not gonna argue with you there.
But overall, okay, I don't regret watching this. Maybe we should recommend this show to other people. I don't know.
I would definitely recommend the show to other people. It's a good show. Just don't watch it on Crunchyroll.
If you can find the original version, watch the original version and find the translation for the Chinese part as well. Because it is very impactful. If you don't know what they said, it probably yes, like you're missing something out of it, in my opinion.
I definitely agree with you. You're missing something if you don't. If you don't get all the dialogue, you're missing out.
Yep. Characters, favorite characters. There are a handful of them. So
there's a handful. What a solid handful. Honestly, I really like Nanashi.
Nanashi is a good character.
I know he's the main character, but I did like him. I did like his character growth and his arc of never drawing his sword because he didn't want to kill anymore. But when he finally unsheathes his blade, it's to save the very thing that made him seal his sword to begin with. Yeah. I thought it was such a good character arc.
I would pick the dog.
pick the dog.
Yeah, I hit the kid. Nanashi is the main character, so yeah, there's no one else left to be chosen, I guess. So yeah, the dog it is. It's a good dog.
Okay. The dog.
The dog. Tobimaru, the dog. All right, least favorite one, characters.
I'd say honestly the old man.
The old man.
Where is
it? They're trying to sell them.
Bai Luan.
Is it the old the guy at the temple?
He's the leader. No, he's there's a lot of them that I hate. Actually, now that I think back on it, it's the priest that he's trying to get back to, the priest that's above him at the new temple. Yes. Bai Luan, the leader of the Chinese assassins.
The emperor. To emperor.
He's not the emperor. He's the one who's serving the emperor.
And the old guy who treated the dog too, trying to snitch them, I guess.
Yeah, him too. Fuck that guy.
Oh my god. Thank god he cannot read. I thought he's a good guy, but yeah, man. There are so many backstabbers in there. All right, conclusion time. Very underrated. It's a mix between Chinese and Japanese. Usually they don't go along together, but somehow they managed to do so in this show. It's quite weird, actually. Don't watch it on Crunchyroll, like Shannon said. Try to find somewhere else to watch this. I don't know if you can find this anywhere else, but who knows? Maybe I will recommend the show to other people if they don't have anything else to watch. Yeah, they are running out of anything for some reason. Last word, Shannon?
I definitely recommend it to people. It's definitely got that old school, like, for me, it's like an old school kung fu flick kind of feel to it. Kind of like I grew up with when I was a kid. The story's great. The animation. It's great. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Just not on Crunchyroll.
Old samurai movie. Yes. All right. So I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of Sword of the Stranger. If you like what you heard here, please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast on. So for our Fungi fam, this is the end of the season and the start of a new season. So it is time for us to do our final flash for the last season, I guess. What show are we going to watch, Shannon, for our final flash?
We are doing... Oh, I forgot the title already. Why do you always ask me? You're supposed to keep track of this stuff, man. There is the Unwanted Undead Adventurer.
Yay! And we still owe these people like two final flashes, Freerun and Zom 100, right?
Oh damn! Huh?
Yeah, we still owe them that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
You know what? I ain't got it. I ain't got it. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you I ain't got it.
I mean, blame the studios for like doing like such a long show and Zom 100 for such a long delay.
Not finishing it on time.
Yep.
So, it is not after, so here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. After we do the first Flash for the spring season, we'll do back-to-back final Flashes of Frieren and Zom 100.
Fingers crossed, because we need to do that the first Flash marathon first. And then, yeah.
I said after we do the first Flash.
Yeah. But let's see. Let's see how it goes. We will do it eventually, but I don't
know.
We'll
see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. So, I tried to make a plan. He like, no, we're not doing that.
And that Unwanted Adventurer. We will do that. Thank God that one is already finished. We check first. This time around.
Yeah, we double check this. We all good.
We're all good. All right. So if you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on interweb. Where can people find us on interweb, Shannon?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast, or shoot us an email, shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. With that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. So be nice to your pet. Be nice to your horse. Because who knows? Maybe they will save you when you are in an emergency. But just be safe out there and please don't die.
You know, when you're trying to avoid being killed in order for your blood to be used to make pills of immortality, you do not have time for opi. None. Zip. Zero. Not to mention you haven't gone through puberty yet. You wouldn't enjoy it. Keep moving. Just run.
All right. Let's see it, Mina, Shannon. Shiitake.
Shiitake.